I recorded this interview with Bob Cowsill about a week or two ago, and we had a really good conversation. In the meantime, the whole world went upside down, and I happened to be watching TV last night, and I remember that he was going to be on Huckabee. So, Mike Huckabee. So I watched it, and they were mentioning their the new song and stuff. They got a new album in the works with the Cowsills. And also, they were going to do, they did a song. They did The Rain, The Park, and other things. Before we get into the show, I know Mike Huckabee said something. He had some good words regarding everything that was going on right now. And I have to go back to the songs that I grew up with the most and why I love the Cowsills and all the other bands of the 60s. I've just loved music from the 60s. I was born in the 70s, but I just loved the music of the 60s. You had the Vietnam era. You had all this. You had everything that we have now. You know, there's still the riots. There were still troubles with race relations. There were all kind of things going on. We even had a rocket launch. And through it all, you had the Beatles, and you had All You Need Is Love, and you had We Can Work It Out, and you had, you know, you say you want a revolution, you know, Lennon saying, well, you know, think about it, you know, let's put things in perspective first, because we all want to change the world, and there are ways we can change the world, and as Lennon and McCartney said so eloquently, life is very short, and there's no time for fussing or fighting, my friend. And I know we can work it out, and we will work it out. In the meantime, I want to deviate from that and give you a nice little diversion for the day. Let you forget about whatever's going on out there just for a moment and find a happy place inside where we can discuss the Cowsills. They were the inspiration for the Partridge Family. If you're listening to the show and you're a fan, then I don't need to explain anything else to you. However, I do want to explain this. Bob Cowsill sent me two songs from their new album. And this is something he actually suggested I be allowed to play these two songs. One is the a cappella version to The Rain, The Park, and Other Things. And the other is a total brand new studio song that they did, full band, full production. And it's called Lend a Hand. And he did this based on, inspired by a homeless person that he kept walking by. Just not too far from his home in California. So I don't know if I would be able, even though I have permission from Bob Cowsill himself, because of, I don't know what algorithms they are looking for when it comes to pulling songs. So if I posted The Rain, The Park, and Other Things, and the algorithm is recognizing the melody, it might pull off the whole podcast, and it might take the podcast off the air. So, not off the air, rather, but it would just pull it from the platform that it's on. So, with that being said, I'm kind of leaning not doing that particular song. However, that being said, since the next one, Lend a Hand, not many people, you know, that's not out. It's unreleased. And I figure I'll give you a little treat, and at the end of the show, I'll play that in its entirety. You know, I do have permission from Bob to play that. And it's a really good song. I think it's perfect for the time. It's relevant, and I think it's a really good song. So let's go into the interview, and then right after that, stick around, because I'll give you it could be the world debut of Lend a Hand. So here we go. We're going right into the interview. Peace and love, people. Peace and love. Coming to you from across the planet via Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, and all other listening platforms where podcasts can be heard. We are also syndicated courtesy of WNJA Radio in South Jersey. Welcome, everyone, to the Dan Morrow Show. I am Dan Morrow. With me today is Bob Cowsill. Bob, formed a small band with his brothers. It was they were, I guess you guys had big aspirations. You were going to take it to the top. Your father heard your practice and came up with an idea. He's like, hey, I got an idea that'll set this band over the top. And he added your mother and and your kid sister. You guys were the inspiration for the Partridge Family. You guys were on countless television shows and stuff. Welcome to the show, Bob.
Thank you. I mean, it's quite a, what happened was quite amazing, but it wasn't as focused until later. I mean, with Bill and I, my older brother Bill and I, we played and performed from the age of 7 to 15, doing heat managing and all kinds of things. And at 15, our dad took note of the talent in the house and, decided you guys want to do this. And at that point it was, let's do this. But up to then it wasn't, we weren't even aware. We were in a small town Navy family. We were just playing music for fun together.
Were you guys from Newport?
My dad was stationed in Newport, Rhode Island at the time, and that's where we grew up.
I play up there.
Up in Newport?
Tiverton. I do the Tiverton Casino during the winter times.
Oh, Tiverton. Yes, of course, Tiverton. Right across the bridge.
Yeah. Oh, Newport's beautiful.
Once we set our sights to hitting the streets back in those days, you had to hit the streets, not outdoors. So we did it the old-fashioned way. It was pretty challenging, I guess, to my dad, but he did a good job.
Yeah, you guys are Beatleheads.
Well, when the Beatles showed up, and the thing was we were into Hootenannies and folk music, and we were unaware of anything coming down the pike. I mean, just look at the resources back then. There's no internet. Anyway, we got wind of the Beatles, and, the first thing as artists ourselves, as kids, the first thing we did with the Beatles was you heard them. And the next thing you did was you bought their records, even before seeing them. You couldn't see them. Then they came on the 3F Sullivan shows, came to America, then we got to see them. It was quite the influence for bands like ours at the time. I was 15, Bill 16, Barry and John were, like 7 and 10, and we were just blown away when the Beatles came. They showed us, here's the gear you get, here's what you wear, here's the songs you learn, and we learned all the Beatles songs, and we did them well and got work because of that, I think, too.
Well, you guys had harmonies, and you can't do a Beatle band without harmonies. You can't do Beatles songs without harmonies. And you guys also had the gear. You had the Hofners and the Gretsches. You still play Gretsches.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what they brought to us, a lot of it stuck with us. I mean, you heard they wrote songs, so we wrote songs. You heard they added a keyboard, so we added a keyboard. It was what influenced you. It's what you learned to perform so that you could find yourself. Because once we started writing and doing everything artists did back then, your roots shine through them, and they hear your songs, and they go, oh, you must have been influenced by the Beatles. I hear it in there. So it has that effect. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, now, other than the Beatles, I'm sure Brian Wilson had a big part in it, and I can hear it in some of your stuff. It's just the harmonies are amazing. And I hear...
Oh, yeah, we learned from those great vocal groups a hint of what you can do with voices. Their instruments is what we learned. And, the voices, they sit in the same range as the strings and some of the horns. So we learned as a vocal group that we could use vocals as strings and really got into those arrangements like that.
Do you know a band called Jellyfish?
No.
Oh, my God. They came out in the early 90s, just about the same time that grunge came out. And they came out of San Francisco. I recommend you listen to an album called Spilt Milk. It will blow your mind. It's so amazing. It's called Spilt Milk by Jellyfish. Believe me, it'll be the best thing you've heard in a long time. And
They
if you start looking them up, they're just one of these bands that had it all musically and sonically, but just didn't fit with the time and they just fell apart after that.
The timing, yeah, the timing thing.
But the guys have gone to do other things. Roger Manning was the keyboard player. He works with Beck, and he's done stuff with Brian Wilson. The drummer was Andy Sturmer, who now does cartoons for Cartoon Channel. Eric Faulkner. It's just a lot of great music, but they had the harmonies and they had the influence. And it's a 90s twist to just that classic sound. And
yeah,
I think you guys would love it because you sent me two audio clips, which were just fascinating, and I loved them. And I guess they're part of a 20 album project that you're working on right now called Rhythm of the World.
Yeah, we recorded last year Rhythm of the World. It's done, and then the virus shut everyone down. But we're mixing it during the pandemic shutdown, and so we're making progress. It's 20 songs. 9 of them will be a cappella. We redid some of our old hits in the a cappella approach, which was a lot of fun and a lot of different. It's just a different approach once we got into it and understood what we had gotten involved with. It really took off with us, and we really enjoyed that part of it.
Well, you sent me a version of the Rain, the Park, and Other Things, totally a cappella.
Yeah,
sounded totally, good, and that's what made me want to bring this up because, you know, there were certain aspects of the song there, where everyone goes to my mind, which that's Pet Sounds right there. That's beautiful. It's just the melodies. And just the arrangements were so good. I just love what you guys did with your arrangements. And you also have a new song that you sent me called Lend a Hand, which has a great story behind it.
It's amazing because Lend a Hand is a song that we went, it's one of the 20 songs, but we actually kind of mixed and mastered Lend a Hand because we'd like to do something with that. It's very relevant today. But the joy of doing a song like that, it's very relevant. It's about homeless and all that business. And we just wanted to pull it out of the pack as something to hear while we're mixing the rest of the record and see if we can't put that song somewhere. It's got a nice cause to it. And it sure is an issue. And so we're pretty excited. And, you know, Rhythm of the World, the album, everything's been, you know, slowed down on the timeline of events, of course, and we're no different. But we are on schedule, and it should be toward the end of the year, assuming we'll see what happens with everything, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's very exciting. I mean, to be able to even send you a couple of songs like that we're working on, it's very exciting to us. I mean, a lot of people are done by now, and we're picking up steam. So we're really looking forward to getting back out on tour and just to have to get to our back and our shows. And we're not unlike everyone. We want it all back because we're involved with something, you know, we're involved with something that we want to get back to it. So it's pretty exciting. It's great to talk to you, Dan, and everyone there in your audience during this time. We're all just sitting around. Let's visit and chat it up. You know, I love it.
Exactly. And what I also like is you guys are still making music. You're still making new music, you know, at a time when you can, you know, when other bands can easily ride the nostalgia train and just keep playing the hits and stuff. You guys are still making music, and what's even more special is you're making music at a point when records are more and more becoming irrelevant in a way where just because of internet and streaming and just pulling down this song and pulling down that song, it's obvious that you guys are doing it out of your passion. I read a book about I read a book about Sammy Hagar, and he says, look, the industry is nothing compared to what it used to be. The industry's dead, but I just love making music, even though I know I'm going to put in a couple hundred thousand into an album that's not going to sell. It's what I do. It's in my blood. I have to make music.
There you go. Well put. It's what you do. But if you write songs, which you do for the songwriters, like, well, what do you do with a written song? You record it. So we got up to a bunch of them, and we said, what are we going to do? You know, let's be quiet. What the heck, you know, we've done this before. And, yeah, you do it for the passion. You do it for the reason that the songs deserve to be recorded. But, you know, what happens after that, you don't even think about it anymore. You just get it done, and let's see what happens. And we're getting a fine reaction to what we're up to. So we're getting a sense that there might be an audience still yet out there for us, including our very own audience that's still out there. And so we're gonna finish this up, this mixing, and we're going to make a run for it. We're pretty excited.
Well, I was always aware of the Capsules. I was always aware of the band, and my mom actually introduced me to it from, I guess the first song she ever played for me was Hair. And I want to say in the back of my mind that I may have seen some of the TV shows when I was a kid in the 70s. But I don't know if I've just dreamt that or if I'm just, I can't vividly recall that. But when I see your videos now, there's a familiarity with them where I'm thinking, I know I've seen these before as a kid.
Look, your memory's faulting you a little because you did. Because the way you got out back in those days, you did a concert. And so there's one way to see a group. You could buy a magazine with an article. That's another way to see a group. The other way to see the group is if they could get on a variety show on television. Ed Sullivan, the Kraft Music Hall, Hollywood Palace. There's just so many of them. David Stein has had his show. Johnny Cash show we went on.
Right.
Television show. So since we were a family group, we got to saturate those shows. We left our sister, mom, and the group, and our sisters, brothers, and look at this family. So we were fortunate because Ed Sullivan had to pick you to be on the show. He didn't just go on the Ed Sullivan show. He had to like you, invite you. And I mention Ed Sullivan because in that day, in the late 60s, that was the top of the mountain. If you got on Ed Sullivan, you really made it big, because only the biggest fan of Ed Sullivan. So, and then you're going to live your history. We got a 10-show deal, but only did 2 shows, because our dad got to fight with Ed Sullivan's son-in-law, Bob Freck, and Ed took the other 8 shows away. So you live that life, too. So it was quite a walk we walked during our career and during our family.
If you could just move the phone just a little. I don't know if it's my phone or your phone.
Sure.
There you go.
That
sounds good. What I also wanted to get at is, so I wasn't actually a fan until, you know, I guess I took the band for granted and looked at it in my ignorance as more of just a novelty act. It was a family act or something, you know, like the Osmonds or something. But then I saw the documentary Family Band, and I saw that through this, at the core of it, where was this core of just rocking musicians who were brothers, and you guys were tight, and it just blew me away. And I told my duo partner, Tom Riley, I told him about it, and I just became enamored, and I couldn't pull up enough videos of you guys. And, you know, I'd see, it was Johnny, right, on drums. And he's this clean cut little American boy behind the drum kit, but when he gets playing, he's a rocker. I see Keith Moon, you know, he's a badass.
It. Yeah. And we were that band. Yes.
Yeah.
And it with the press and with what happened, to us as a rock band, that we were a family was always secondary. It just happened to be that.
Right.
You know, that was circumstances. You know, you live on an island. Yeah. It's the mid-60s. There's no one around. There's no internet. There's no resource. You're into music. You develop this on your own. So we're a band, and secondarily, oh yeah, we're brothers and a family band. Now, once we made it, that became the primary. The secondary became the primary. Look at this family. Oh my God, look at this mother. So now, since it's the primary, it's easily dismissed. Oh, okay, so, oh, they're cute. And that's the look we got from a lot of people, and then we don't. Maybe later they reinvestigated us or saw something, like the documentary of Sega reopened. Well, now, wait a minute. There was more here than I thought. And that is our history. But then we're okay with that. You know, we're okay, but we're still here.
Yeah. And
Surviving.
if anybody complains or bitches about that, I mean, where are your hits? You guys got hits. You guys
Yeah.
got, you guys brought in numbers to back it up. And only.
Well, it's like, I know, even that with the hit records, because we talked to Howard Kalin from the Turtles once about it. He said their attitude was like, oh, yeah, the council's with them. Yeah, nice little song. And then that's all they would think and move on. You know, they never gave those much Beatles their credit. But that's okay. That's natural. It was natural.
Yeah, and I think only a few, because there was the novelty of the family bands. You had the Osmonds, you had the Jackson Five, but aside from Michael, Tito and Jermaine, they were subpar musicians. And the Osmonds were very
Yeah.
good. The Osmonds were very good, but
Excellent.
you guys
Excellent.
were just a kicking rock band. It was, and I wish the people saw more of that. And I think they do now, because especially now that Susan's grown into her own, you guys are all grown-ups. You guys are all adults. You guys,
Yeah, and we're playing still. We still play live. And if you come to our live show, you can walk out of that understanding, okay, I get this. This is the real deal at the time. This is the reason why they did well. And we do get a little more respect today than we did at the time. As I said, because your drummer is your 8-year-old brother. Your mother's in the band. Your sister's 7 years old singing with you. Now, in the day, when we were investigating all this with the harmonies and the vocals, well, that was our good news. From within our own family, we'd come up with six singers. I mean, we were loose in the vocal field, candy field by then.
Right.
And not worrying about what people thought. We were too young to care about that. Just going into the studio and making, creating this stuff. And you mentioned the Osmonds. Let me tell you something. We watched those Osmonds brothers on Andy Williams' show a lot. Because they would do barbershop quartet and they would do harmonizing with
Oh,
those
yeah.
instruments. And as young kids, you could sit there and you're hearing that and you're going, man, listen to that. And the harmonies are all alone and not disrupted by the track. I mean, look, you're 14 years old, you're 13, you're trying to understand something here. So they stripped it down to these vocals. I'm just rethinking it as a kid. I must have been sitting there going, wow, listen to those harmonies, which is what we were doing. Listen to those harmonies. And so we got into that. And then, but then they put the music, the tracks with it. And then the Beatles came out and the British Invasion. And it's just right at the right age to transfer into a rock band from a folk music duo. They're just ready. Perfect time. Perfect time.
It was funny, especially, that was the time when the transition from the folk into rock happened. And ironically, it was the exact same thing for Jim Yester. I had him on yesterday, and
Yeah.
I mentioned that I would be having you on today, and he lit up like a Christmas tree. He says, "Oh my God, I love Susan. Bob is the absolute best."
We are bonded with them, the association. Great, great vocal group. I mean, the council's had the high harmony, the low harmony, and the middle harmony. The association had the high harmony, the harmony between the middle and the high harmony, then the middle harmony, then the harmony between the middle and the low harmony, then the low harmony.
Right.
They were way beyond us vocally.
And I was asking him, what's that like live? I've had my own experiences. There's just nothing like those nights when the vocals are just in the pocket, everything is so perfect, and those harmonies are so tight.
Agreed. Yes, that's a great night. And it's a super night when you feel you can sing anything. Because every night, of course, can't be like that.
Yeah, and I try to
That's
tell my son, and he's seeing it now because he's a guitar player, and he's in a working band. Well, if they work again. And I said, if you want to be a better utility player, you're great with your guitar, but you got to sing, and you got to sing harmonies, and it'll
and there's
benefit
much better
you in the long
caring.
run. And I taught him
Good
on,
point.
yeah, and I taught him with Beatles songs and stuff, and I would harmonize along with Beatles songs and like the early stuff, like No Reply or I'll Be Back Again, where there's only just Paul and John doing a harmony. I'll sing a third under there and show Brendan. You know, for some reason, I cannot find a harmony for If I Fell. It's John and Paul doing this beautiful harmony, and the minute I try to add a third, I can add a harmony to any song except that one. I cannot add a third part to that, because the minute I do, Paul jumps on that, or the minute I try this one, John jumps on. I challenge you to try to harmonize with that one. Usually you could just pick them up and pick it out. But that's amazing. And after all these years, to see you guys still playing and to see you guys being appreciated. And like I said, what really won me over with you guys was watching that documentary, and it opened up. I think it was you actually just setting your guitar up and playing in a bar.
I played there for 28 years.
Yeah.
So three nights a week, a lot of those years. So yeah, that's what you do. You gotta, if you can strip it down to nothing and it still works, you've done a good job.
Well, and
you have a good song.
I've been doing that for years, and I was doing it almost for 20 years at this one place. And I was at a point where I'm like, I'm just tired of this. I don't know where to go from here. And then I saw that video, I saw the film, and you were doing exactly what I do, you know, just setting up the PA, just, you know, hoping you know, just being good ambiance and hoping someone appreciates it. And I'm like, this is a kindred spirit right here. And it just made me look forward to playing the following night. It just, it really helped me going with
it's
that.
Good to play, yeah.
And
good
like I said, I'm glad you guys are still writing. Are you a gearhead? Like, do you have a home studio and stuff?
No,
or do you just go to other places?
We recorded our Rhythm of the World at Dockside Studios in Louisiana, but no, we're not that people. We're very big. We write a song. We don't write music. We don't read music. You know,
right.
We do it all that way. And so it just exists. And then you take it into the studio and figure out how we're going to dress this up. And it's all very basic with us.
So, like, who would be mixing the songs? Would you be helping, or do you have an engineer for that?
Yeah. The person mixing Rhythm of the World, his name is Frank Filippetti. And he's doing a great job. He's a mixer. He has his studio in Connecticut. Of course, with what's going on, we're remotely mixing, which is fine. A little longer it takes, but easily done. And Greg Calvi is mastering, a master engineer. He masters Lend a Hand. And so the team is underway and moving along the Rhythm of the World highway. So we're very fortunate that we seem to have the right people doing the right things for the people.
Wow. And is it just you guys, or do you have other musicians in? Because you had Waddy for a long time doing sessions with
you. Our buddy.
Yeah.
You know, we grew up together in Newport. His band had the Hammond B3 and did the Young Rascal songs, and our band in Newport, we were the Beatles. So we all got along, and we stayed in touch with each other and still do to this day. We're very good friends. But our band is just the seven of us. It's just me and Paul and Susan. Paul's kid, son Brendan, is guitar and vocalist. My son Ryan is keyboard. They're in the same space. Susan's husband is our drummer, because John's with the Beach Boys, our brother. So Susan's husband, Russ, is our drummer. It's just the seven of us in there. We did it all alone and all on our own, arrangements and producing and the whole thing. So it's really...
I'm sorry? I think I lost him. I may have lost him. But oh, no, I got you. I thought I lost you for a second. You there?
Yeah, I hear an amusement, like an amusement ride.
All right, I'm sorry about that.
There is.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't
that
know.
That was crazy.
Yeah. I don't know what happened there. And now I hear you sound great.
It's a screaming kick over anyway. But anyway.
So we're
doing great with the album. Yeah. Doing great.
And you guys had like I said, I spoke with Jim yesterday and he said you guys are all going to be part of this new tour. When do you think everything's going to kick back up again? It looks pretty bleak right now.
Well, you know, I know. It was June, July, and August. And now it's moved to July, August, September. And then they moved a lot of it to September, October. So we're moving down the timeline with everything else. They're rebooking dates and putting them, they're leapfrogging down the timeline. Whether it takes off at all is an unknown, of course. The bigger tours had to cancel. You can't rebook a stadium tour.
No.
But the venues we play at, you know, even the OC Fair canceled, so there wasn't that venue. But if it goes out, it's probably not going to be a 60-city tour like it was going to be starting May 31st.
And that was going to be a really cool bill. It had you, the association, I think Chuck Negron? Was he going to be there?
Oh, sure, Chuck Negron. Yeah, he is amazing. And it had the Bogues. But it might go out. We'll see. We could get a 20, 30-show tour in, maybe. It depends on this is just also unstable, you know?
Right.
But they're rebooking. They're leapfrogging down that timeline for that tour and rebooking. And so far, the venues are saying, yeah, let's do it. And then you get to that point, we'll see if it's a go.
And how's
truly an unknown.
How's the health with everybody? Everybody feeling good?
Oh yeah, everyone's hunkered down, being good citizens, waiting for this to blow over.
I hear you. Hey,
get back to work.
I hear you. Hey, before I let you go, could I ask you for one quick favor? At the risk of imposing, if I can get a quick station ID from you, because I've had a great time speaking with you. Our call letters are WNJH Radio. If you just introduce yourself, Bob Calso of the Calsells, and you're listening to WNJH Radio.
Yes, I'm ready. Tell me when.
Yeah, whenever. I'm just constantly rolling. So
okay.
Okay.
All right, here we go. I'll count it down. 3, 2, 1. Hi, this is Bob Calso of the Calsells, and you're listening to the WNJH Radio. Enjoy.
That's perfect. Would it be possible if we can play that track on the air?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, I appreciate that.
I can even, you want me to say something, or you can play either of them. You're fine. They're fine. They're out.
Yeah,
and he's good.
I'm going to put them out. At the risk.
Be fine.
Thank you so much. At the risk of imposing, I threw in one of my videos for you in your email.
I got that. I saw that. Yes, I saw that. Thank you. Have fun.
And thank you.
All right, Dan.
Thank you so much for being a part of this show. I hope you guys are out playing again and rocking again. The documentary Family Band, I recommend anybody to get it. Do you guys have any other products? Any books or anything?
Nope, just look for Rhythm of the World later this year and look for us out on the road.
Fantastic.
And, we'll all hook up again together. It'll be great.
Well, thank you so much, Bob. Bob Castle, thank you so much.
Thanks,
have a great day.
Out.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye now. Thank you.
And if you want to reach Bob, if you want to contact the band or just find out what they're doing online, go to cowsill.com. That's C-O-W-S-I-L-L. com. And I hope you enjoyed this podcast. Please be sure to tell your friends about the show. Please be sure to tell your friends about the show. I mean, tell your friends about this show. You can find the Dan Morrow Show on Apple Podcast, Google Play, Spotify, and all the other listening platforms where podcasts are heard. And we are also syndicated via the great online radio network of Hamilton, New Jersey, WNJHradio.com. Hey, I'm on Instagram. Dan Morrow Music, that's where you can find me, as well as Facebook, also on Dan Morrow Music. And look for me on Twitter. Look for the Dan Morrow Show on Twitter. And for live show dates, videos, updates, and all other facets of me, go to my personal website at danmorrow.com. That's danmarro.com. All right, that's another one in the books. I'll see you next time.
Everybody spends a little time on a broken road, but I've been on it so long, I've been calling it home. And if that doesn't speak to you, try it.
the sunshine through. And I never thought I'd call the streets home, but I got fooled. Oh, the hard time clouds rolled in. Life went upside down. Sometimes you just can't win. Saw her sitting in the rain, raindrop falling on her. She didn't seem to care. She sat there and smiled at me, and I knew she could make me happy.
She had made me very happy.
Flowers in her hair, flowers everywhere. Why she simply caught my eye.
I love the flower. I love the flower.
She seemed so sweet and kind. She crept into my mind.
To my mind.
I knew I had to say hello.
Hello, hello.
Smiled up at me.
Hello, how do you do?
Then she took my hand. We walked park alone.
Take my hand.
And I knew she could make me happy.
Happy. She had made me very
flowers
happy.
Flowers in her hair. Flowers everywhere.
Everywhere. I love the flower.
Oh, I don't know just why she simply caught my eye. The sun broke through.
Didn't see the sun.
I turned around, she was gone.
Where did she go?
And all I had left was one little flower in my hand. But
I knew.
She had made me happy.
Happy. She had made me very happy.
Flowers in her hair. Flowers everywhere. Or just a dream to me.
I love the flower.
Her love showed me the way to find a sunny day.
Sunny day. I love the flower.
Was she reality or just a dream to me?
I love the flower.
Her love showed me the way to find a sunny day.